spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Let's see, we're talking about Israel. A couple of things going on here. Israel is mounting yet another public relations campaign. They can't understand why nobody in the world loves them based on their public image. And what they're really doing in the world, of course, is the issue. But Israel, for almost half a century, got away with saying one thing and doing another and getting away with it because they simply either bought up or bribed all the media to always say good things about what Israel was doing and to basically not report on the bad things that they were doing. They got away with it for half a century, and now they're whining and crying they can't do it anymore because of the alternative media and the blogosphere. And so now they're talking about a new rebranding program, and this is where it gets really kind of counterproductive. Because Israel is appealing to the world's Jewish...
We're covering all of North America, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks, and it is the 9th of April, 2011. Good to have you with us. We're having a little technical problems this morning. I'm not sure. Hopefully I'm on the air, but I'm going to assume that I am. Lots going on. We have... Now, a situation, I'm going to cover the Fukushima thing here in a moment. Very concerning to me now as this radiation is detected in different places. I haven't really said a whole lot about this situation because I haven't wanted to do like certain other talk show hosts have done and hike the situation. And I've been monitoring the radiation levels in the air with the radiation networks that we have posted on the website at governamerica.com. And I haven't really seen much of a change in these things since I've been monitoring it, since this whole ordeal first began. However, those monitor the radiation in the air. It does not cover other things like, well, radiation, I guess, that's rained to the ground from higher up. And apparently this radiation is being detected in different places. We have stories that we'll get to in a moment, hopefully, about grass clippings in Illinois having radiation. There's radiation in the water in California, evidently. And the state of Virginia is now advising people not to drink rainwater. Department of Public Health there in Virginia. And we have stories about radiation being detected as far away as France also. So we'll get to some of those stories in a moment. I wanted to start the program off here by talking a little bit about the situation in New York with the Happy Meals. It seems now that there is a mayor in Detroit, or I'm sorry, in New York City. A city council member, actually, is what his office is. And he is proposing a ban on all Happy Meals. He's going to ban Happy Meals in the city of New York. This is what the councilman is proposing to do. Now, this guy is obese himself. And he admits that he has eaten Happy Meals himself. Anyway, I don't know if we're going to have the break or not. Apparently, Ken is looking for the computer that plays all of the breaks and all the bumper musics and stuff. So I'm just going to throw it to the break. This is Govern America. We'll be back. And I'm not hearing anything, so... Should I just keep talking?
Yeah, just keep on talking. I've got it. It's coming up.
Okay. All right. So evidently we are on the air, and Ken, our board op there in Texas, is very busy working to diligently restore the situation there. This is live radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is what it's all about. You get these situations sometimes. But anyway, so as I was saying a moment ago, we have this city council member in New York now who is working to ban Happy Meals because apparently the people of the state of New York and the people of the city of New York in particular are too dumb to figure out how to moderate their diets. You know, this obese city council member has got to do the job for him, you know, because, well, he's obese and he ate Happy Meals as a child, so he thinks that this is evidently, I guess, what's afflicted him throughout his life. CBS New York reports San Francisco's already done it, and now New York may follow suit. New York City Councilman Leroy Comrie, and I think his name really should be Comrie, he thinks the city should consider a ban on Happy Meals and similar fast food products aimed at kids unless those meals meet certain nutritional standards. Comrie has fought the battle of the bulge himself. As you know, he says, I am an example. Nearly one-third of all children in New York City and throughout the United States are either overweight or obese. He says he planned to introduce his own bill Wednesday that would essentially rewrite what could currently be considered a Happy Meal. The bill would require establishments that offer toys with food to make sure the meals are 500 calories or less and have low-fat or low-sodium totals. So, once again, we have a society, ladies and gentlemen, where, you know, we hear a lot about childhood obesity. And certainly the things that are being put in Happy Meals are not healthy, but that's where you have parenting. Parenting is very important. And today, it seems to me that we have a complete devoid, a complete vacuum of leadership as far as the home is concerned. You know, I see parents, I mean, completely AWOL today. And this is why we have a childhood obesity epidemic, ladies and gentlemen. There are healthy choices. But do parents buy their children healthy choices? Do parents ensure their children get the proper exercise? This is the solution, ladies and gentlemen. Not some stupid politician coming in and dictating to everyone else what the choices that they can have available to them. So I'm going to leave that there. Just one more example of absolute, abject stupidity. You know, when parents don't do the job, government is willing to step in and take over and fill the void. So I mentioned a moment ago about the situation in Japan now. It's gotten to absolute, unbelievable proportions. And I just can't help but once again question whether or not this earthquake was set off, ladies and gentlemen. With the plume of radiation they're saying now is headed to the U.S. West Coast, with all the alarmism that's going on by certain talk show hosts, what do you believe today? I've tried to keep everything low-key here on this subject because I think a lot of people are hyping this, and one thing that I do not want to do on this program is scare the hell out of everybody else. And that seems to be what certain talk show hosts want to do regarding this subject. However, there are some things that are concerning. One of the things that concerns me greatly is the fact that we have Japan dumping 10,000 tons of what they call slightly radioactive water into the ocean. And the experts, there's always experts cited by the news services. They're saying, oh, the ocean is pretty big. It can handle all this radioactivity. The ocean is a pretty big area. But we're talking about 10,000 tons of radioactive water that apparently is being dumped into the ocean at Fukushima in Japan. So what is the ramifications of this going to be on the sea life, ladies and gentlemen? The ocean, we pull a lot of our seafood. Well, all of our seafood comes out of the ocean for the most part. I don't know to what degree the lakes are fished commercially, the inland waterways, but, you know, it's all connected anyway. So the question is, are we going to be eating radioactive fish now? You know, we already had a situation in the Gulf last year where the Gulf, we had a gusher of oil for how long did this go on? It was at least a month, maybe 2 months, I don't know. All the time seems to run together. And we had the Gulf filling up with oil and Corexit 9500, which is a chemical that was banned in the UK because of its toxicity. I've seen the documentation on that. And the Corexit spraying went on for, I don't know how long. For our knowledge, it might even still be going on down there. We don't know. MSNBC posed that question not too long ago, that perhaps they're still spraying. So we have the oceans, the Gulf of Mexico, polluted. We have, on the heels of that, the Fukushima, the earthquake, which we know earthquakes can be set off. There's no way to know whether or not this one is. There's no way to know whether or not a particular event is a created scenario. But we know it can be done. William Cohen, a former defense secretary of the United States, we've cited this often over the years, and other people are doing it too now, that he said earthquakes and volcanoes could be set off remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So we know this can be done. We know the science exists. And right on the heels of the Gulf disaster, an environmental catastrophe, which massively polluted the at least the Gulf of Mexico, if not other parts of the ocean. We don't even know the ramifications of this. Now we have this situation in Japan, which is polluting. What is it? What is it not polluting, ladies and gentlemen? But they're dumping 10,000 tons of radioactive material into the ocean. It seems to me that we have all of this going on at the same time, and isn't it interesting that we have a convergence of never-ending crises of environmental proportions breaking out everywhere? And we know the depopulation agenda goes forward. We know the plan is to depopulate the planet, to make everything sustainable in accordance with sustainable development. Now, does this all fit together? It does in my thinking. So we got the radioactive water. Here we see from CBS, St. Louis, radioactive material found in Illinois. It says radiation believed to be from the nuclear plant disaster in Japan has been detected in Illinois. The radioactive iodine, similar to what was released in Japan, was found in a grass clipping in the Joliet area by the radiological assessment field team, which regularly checks on vegetation, air, milk, and eggs to determine if any radiation is leaking from Illinois nuclear reactors. In this case, they say the grass clippings were taken as a part of a drill for the emergency plan at the Dresden nuclear power plant. Once that grass sample tested positive for radioactive iodine, an air sample in Springfield was taken, which also detected the radioactive material. Patty Thompson of the Illinois Emergency Management Agency says the levels are low. The amount of radiation would have to be 200,000 times greater than what was detected to meet regulatory limits for emissions from a nuclear power plant. Nevertheless, the state will now conduct more tests in other parts of the state. Well, let's hope they're not downplaying the situation, because many times governments do. And hopefully this is nothing to worry about. But when we're seeing this all over the place now, It does give you some pause, especially when you see the extremely high levels of radiation that are happening, that are occurring in Japan. Logic would suggest that the higher the levels are over there, the higher the levels would become over here, even though there's thousands of miles difference between Japan and the West Coast. And the fact that we're seeing it all over the world now. I mentioned a moment ago, France. This comes from Euractiv. France detects radioactive iodine in rainwater and milk. They say after the radioactive cloud emanating from Japan's stricken Fukushima nuclear power plant reached Europe last week, French authorities have detected radioactive iodine-131 in rainwater and milk. The independent French research body, CRIAD, C-R-I-I-R-A-D, said it had detected radioactive iodine-131 in rainwater in southeastern France. A sample analyzed on March 28th showed radioactivity levels of 8.5 becquerel. In parallel testing, the French Institute for Radiological Detection and Nuclear Safety, the IRSN, the National Public Institute Monitoring Nuclear and Radiological Risks, found iodine-131 in milk. In normal times, no trace of iodine-131 should be detectable in rainwater or milk, they say. So I'm not going to read that whole thing. Lots to cover. But now we have this here in the United States again. This comes from the Intel Hub. They're citing researchers at UC Berkeley. Say rainwater in California measured 181 times the acceptable limit for drinking water. Officials at UC Berkeley have tested rainwater that turned out to be 181 times the limit for drinking water. This is happening at the same time that our fake corporate media is telling the sheeple that there is absolutely nothing to worry about. So there's that. And we get this from the official Virginia government, the Virginia Department of Public Health. This was dated March 27th. They said, as a result of the incident with a nuclear power plant in Japan, several EPA air monitors have been detecting low levels of radioactive material in the U.S. To date, none of Virginia's multiple monitoring systems has detected a level of radioactive material that would pose a public health concern. Recent reports of elevated levels of radioactive material in rainwater in Pennsylvania and Massachusetts have been expected, since radiation is known to travel in the atmosphere. However, they say, we are not seeing that in any of the monitoring data for the state. Now, skipping down here, they turn around then and say, the Virginia Department of Public Health is advising residents that the state's drinking water supplies remain safe, but reminds Virginians out of an abundance of caution that they should avoid using rainwater collected in cisterns as drinking water. So in other words, they're advising folks, as we told you earlier, they're advising people not to drink the rainwater. Well, I don't know many people that go around drinking rainwater anyway. But I don't know. I still think that we need to be calm about this. I'm still not alarmed about this. But I am seeing some stories now that that give me some pause to think about my earlier position on this. So what do you folks think? You're certainly welcome to call in, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. By the way, and starting in the second hour, we're going to be talking with Jim Beers. Some of you might remember Jim Beers from last year. I didn't realize it had been a whole year since we had him on. But he is going to be coming on. He spent 30 years with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and he knows a lot about wildlife. We're going to be talking about some of the things with him starting in the second hour. I'm not sure if we have the break. I'm not hearing any bumper music or any break, so I guess I'm going to keep talking. anyway, we have a situation now. This is one of the things I wanted to talk about last week, and we never got to it. But now that, you know, we've been telling you folks for years, I've been talking with we've been telling you folks for years about Agenda 21. And we've been telling you that a part of this is to relocate people out of rural areas, get them into the urban centers, where everything they need is, you need is within a five-mile radius approximately. You won't need cars. Cars will be significantly curtailed, if not eliminated altogether, in favor of bicycles, walking, and whatever other personal transportation, such as skateboards, rollerblades, whatever, okay? It's going to be people power. It's going to power your transportation in the coming days. And, oh, by the way, they're having the high-speed rail. They're trying to connect the major cities. Okay, so if you really have to get to some other city, you'll go by rail. Or maybe bus, I don't know. But the point is that we've told you folks for years that cars are going to be significant. Cars do not fit into the sustainable equation. And this just came out a week or two ago. This is actually dated March 28th. Out of the Telegraph, out of the UK, it says, EU to ban cars from cities by 2050. They say cars will be banned from London and all other cities across Europe under a draconian EU master plan to cut CO2 emissions by 60% over the next 40 years. They say the European Commission on Monday unveiled a single European transport area aimed at enforcing a profound shift in transport patterns for passengers by 2050. The plan also envisages an end to cheap holiday flights from Britain to southern Europe with a target that over 50% of all journeys above 186 miles should be by rail. Top of the EU's list to cut climate change emissions is a target of zero for the number of petrol and diesel-driven cars and lorries in the EU's future cities. Siim Kallas, the EU Transportation Commission, insisted that Brussels directives and new taxation of fuel would be used to force people out of their cars and onto alternative means of transport. Now, what's been happening here in the United States with regard to gas prices, listeners? You know, we're at war. They used to have an old saying back in the day, don't you know there's a war on? And I guess at times of war, the country is expected to make sacrifices. But what happens when a country is in a state of perpetual war? Do the sacrifices continue perpetually? Certainly seems that way today, and that certainly fits into the sustainable model, does it not? So gas prices are on the rise. Every time a new conflict breaks out in the Middle East, or in a, more accurately stated, every time our peace-enforcing government decides to pick a fight with another dictator someplace. Gas prices, the oil companies, hey, they got another excuse to jack up the prices just a little bit more. And now we're quickly approaching the $4 a gallon mark. And how high is it going to go? Generally in the summertime, that's when the prices go up anyway. People generally take vacations in the summer. They travel more. I don't know how many people are going to be taking vacations now with all the unemployed people around. But anyway, this is what's happening. So they say, backing up here, the EU Transport Commission insisted that Brussels directives and a new taxation of fuel would be used to force people out of their cars and onto alternative means of transport. That means no more conventionally fueled cars in our cities, he said, and action will follow legislation, real action, to change behavior. Okay, I am being told that the computer is completely down. I don't know what that means. Maybe we'll just have no bumper musics and no commercials for the whole 3 hours. I don't know. That's going to be an interesting 3 hours. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines. We got Vicky in Idaho on the line, and your calls are welcome. 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And Vicky, good morning.
Vicky dropped.
Oh, Vicky dropped. Okay, well, sorry about that.
We're going out. Everything's fine except we had no internet.
Okay, all right. Very good. Well, Vicky, if you want to call back in, I apologize for keeping you on hold. And we'll take your call as soon as you call back in. Anyway, continuing with this thing, ladies and gentlemen, this is all what we've been telling you about for years. This is all Agenda 21 stuff, and this is what. And if you think this is just going to happen in the EU, it's not going to come here to the United States. This is a worldwide program, listeners. Why do you think? Everywhere you turn, in every city, they are building bicycle paths. I mean, they're building them all throughout Michigan. And I'm sure if they're building them here, they're building them everywhere. Do we have Vicky back? I think we do.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay. All right. She's still on my screen. All right. So anyway, check your local area. See what kind of bike paths and things are being built in your local area. And not that stuff is inherently bad, bike paths, I mean. Certainly, exercise is good. But you have to keep in mind why this infrastructure is being created. They say the Association of British Drivers rejected the proposal to ban cars as economically disastrous and as a crazy, quote-unquote, restriction on mobility. Hugh Bladen, a spokesman for the BDA, says, I suggest that he goes and finds himself a space in the local mental asylum. If he wants to bring everyone to a grinding halt and to plunge us into a new dark age, he's on the right track. We have to keep things moving. The man is off his rocker. Mr. Collis has denied that the EU plan to cut car use by half over the next 20 years before a total ban in 2050 will limit personal mobility or reduce Europe's economic competitiveness. Quote, curbing mobility is not an option, neither is business as usual. We can break the transport system's dependence on oil without sacrificing its efficiency and compromising mobility. It can be a win-win, he claimed. Christopher Monckton, UKIP's transport spokesman, said, quote, the EU must be living in an alternate reality where they can spend trillions and ban people from their cars. This sort of greenwashing grandstanding adds nothing and merely highlights their grandiose ambitions. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't an EU plan. All the EU is doing is implementing the international plan. Okay, I'm told we have Vicky Davis back. Vicky. Thanks for calling back in.
Hi, Darren. I thought you couldn't see me because of your problem. I knew you were having a problem with your bumper music. So, but anyway,
yeah.
The reason why I called is because not too coincidental to all these environmental disasters. There was a hearing in Congress on March 29th. It's the Senate Environment Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a hearing on disease clusters and environmental health. And what they apparently want to do is to authorize a disease registry, disease cluster registry. And they want it to be managed by the EPA, not the CDC, but the EPA. And it sounded like, you know, they were going to be going through everybody's medical records to find disease clusters that occurred in history. And as I was, say you grew up in one area as a child, and then you and your friends all move in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be going through medical records and finding all the people that grew up in that particular area, and if there is a disease cluster, then you'll, I guess, be put into a registry.
Well, that's very interesting. I'm thinking about what you said with regard to it being overseen or regulated or whatever by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, rather than the CDC. I'm wondering, to you, what does that mean exactly? What do you think that do you have any idea why they would be doing that?
Yeah, I think it's for Agenda 21. It will be convenient for a lot of the, for a couple of reasons. First, because of the biotechnology research project that they are setting up for mm-hmm. the United States and the world. But secondly, of course, they'll be able to use it to move people out of areas, you know, that they want people out of.
Yeah.
You know, you remember the Love Canal and how they moved everybody out of there. Well, the convenient thing about this disease registry, this disease cluster system, is that there's really no way for anybody to verify the truth of it, because medical records are private. Okay, and so we'll just have to take the EPA's word for it that, you know, there is a disease cluster, you know, in some particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
well,
then...
and certainly this fits into the depopulation thing, and certainly we have to keep in mind also that diseases are created in laboratories today. You know, and so if they want a disease cluster to break out, they can create a disease cluster to break out.
They certainly can, yep. And I found another tie-in to, you know, my Trojan Triangle system.
Mm-hmm.
The Trojan Triangle that's in Boise is for biomedical research. Well, there's, of course, another one in Minnesota, you know, by the Mayo Clinic, and another one in Washington State. That is the new economy that they're planning on. Through the universities, they're setting up all these biomedical research clusters.
Hmm.
They love that word, cluster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like to cluster us all together, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing that comes to mind, too, when you talk about that, I keep thinking about that movie. I think it was The Matrix. And there was actually a scene in there where one of the, I guess it was one of the villains, said something to the effect of every species on the planet has a way of managing itself or something, but you humans do not. You humans spread throughout like a cancer, multiplying and taking over everything. He compared humanity, humans, to a disease. In fact, he actually used the word disease. And he says, we are the cure. And I actually played that clip on the program one time. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, Hollywood... They tell everyone what they're doing just by putting it out there in the movies. And I just found that particular scene, that particular part, very chilling. Because that seems to be exactly what they're doing today. With all the multiple crises that literally threaten our existence. The latest thing now is the Japan thing. Also, you mentioned the disease clusters. We're in a situation right now, Vicki, where they're talking about another bird flu outbreak. You know, I don't know if you heard that or not.
I
guess it broke out in Mexico, spreading in, I guess there's certain states it's been detected in. I'm doing this from memory, so if I don't remember it exactly, you know, but
yeah,
we got another potential pandemic anyway.
Yeah, I saw a reference to H1N1, and I didn't read it, but I'm sure we'll be hearing more and more about things that tie into or that will support the idea of the disease cluster system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they have to get the public conditioned to the idea that this thing is absolutely necessary. And I'm sure that it's going to be a global system. It won't be just the United States. It will be global. And
mm-hmm.
with the EPA running it, of course, you know, it's going to be really a good tool for them to manipulate the public in terms of the sustainable agenda,
yeah,
development agenda, I should say.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it certainly is a, well, we know that they spent nine years recreating in a laboratory the 1918 Spanish flu virus, which we're told was so incredibly deadly. They worked very, very hard and diligent to recreate that so that they could supposedly study it and find out what made it so virulent. And these laboratories have had, I don't know how many different scares. I mean, we hear about these bio labs which create these viruses, and, you know, for all we know, well, some of this stuff has already escaped from labs. You know, I'm trying to remember what the disease was. But they've actually had diseases in the population that have been the direct result of some of these germs escaping from the laboratories.
Well, and I kind of suspect that wasn't an accident.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I started studying the redesign of our healthcare system in 2007, and I could hear from the way that IBM and Mayo Clinic did their presentation to the governors at the National Governors Association conference. I could hear the design of the system. I knew what they were going to do back then. And so I started writing about it back then. And everything I've written about, they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so since you can't justify what they're doing, you know, the nationalized medical records, you can't justify that on cost savings. You can't, any of the traditional ways that you determine whether or not an IT project is viable, the redesign of the healthcare system doesn't fly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there had to be another reason. And with just what they were talking about, with personalized medicine, which means genetic analysis of you, and then determining what treatments you need based on that, the whole redesign is for biomedical research. I wrote one thing called the 21st Century Manhattan Project in biomedical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they're doing. Just flat out, that is what they're doing. And so, you know, everybody is at risk. Now, they're going to market it in such a way to tell people, oh, this will be great. You know, we'll give you this DNA test, and we'll tell you you have a propensity for a disease. You know, and so we can prevent you from getting this disease. Well, they can't really do that because even if you don't develop the disease, then that doesn't mean that you ever were going to develop the disease. But in the meantime, you know, they can use you as an experimental body.
Yeah, you know, funny that you should mention that. I got this this article in the Telegraph. It says, test children's genes before they have sex. This was just April 9th. Let's see. What's the date on this thing? This is actually the 5th. It's just a few days ago. It says the Human Genetic Commission will recommend that so-called preconception tests should be much more widely available. The screening allows specialists to see if potential parents are hidden carriers of genetic conditions. This is what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yes, yes, that's exactly it. Uh-huh.
Those who are found to be at greater risk of passing on a disease or abnormality have the option to seek the IVF treatment, use donor eggs or sperm, or to adopt instead. The tests raise questions about the extent to which donors should intervene in nature, suggesting that children have their genetic makeup analyzed will add to the controversy. The commission was asked in 2009 to review the ethical and legal questions surrounding preconception testing and will present its findings to the Department of Health this week. It has concluded that there are strong reasons to make preconception testing widely available to anyone who needs it, based on the principle that parents should have the maximum information of and autonomy over their reproductive decisions. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind when I read something like that is, how long is it going to be, Vicki, before when people are determined to have genetic flaws? You know, they're determined to have certain characteristics that are undesirable. Will they be allowed to reproduce? You know,
there's
so many slippery slopes associated with this.
Right. And the way that the healthcare system is redesigned with your front-end provider being a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant and doctors working in a team way, so basically the nurse will be interacting with the doctor. You really won't see the doctor. There's a world of possibilities of what they can do to you in a covert way that you will have no way to know unless you're capable of looking on the internet, diagnosing yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you know, basically monitoring your own health and taking control of it. But I mean, how many people really are capable of doing that? There's a whole lot of people out there that really can't, and it's the same kind of situation as with the mortgages. You know, the Republicans say, well, you know, all we need to do is just do some financial training of people. Well, training is not a replacement for intellect, and I'm sorry to say that there are a lot of people out there that don't have the capability.
Yeah.
And those people are just ready-made victims.
Isn't it funny how they use the word training? I mean, isn't that what we do to animals?
Yes.
We train our dogs to do tricks?
Yeah, and that's what Charlotte Iserbite has talked about a lot with this outcome-based education.
Right.
That is training. It's like animal training.
Mm-hmm.
And that's precisely what they're doing with the population. That's what they're doing in the schools.
Yeah.
It's training. It is not educating. It is training.
Yep.
But
yeah.
I've got
Mark on the line. Mark in Texas. He wants to talk. So stay with us, Vicki. He wants to talk to you and me. So we're going to add Mark.
Okay. Hey, good morning to each of you. Hi, Vicki. Hey, Darren.
Hi. How you doing? Fine, thanks.
You know what they've done is they patterned over the years. Vicki, you were kind of alluding to this. Over the years, they patterned the medical system to mimic identically the legal system. Let me explain. A disease now is a crime, folks. A disease is a crime. If you go into the doctor's office, the minute you go in there, you fill out these forms, and at the bottom you sign your name, and it says that to the best of your ability, all the statements you made are true, correct? You've just been sworn in. You're fixed to go see the judge. The judge is your doctor. Now, you walk into that examination room. What do they do when they put you on the stand? Do they not examine you?
Mm-hmm.
Cross-examination? Examination? Okay. You go in front of your judge. He says, okay, here's what you have contracted. You no longer catch a cold, folks. You have contracted a disease. Now, he'll give you pills. What's it say on the pills? You're basically on probation when you're taking pills. What's it say? You have to take it till the prescription is completely eaten or gone.
Which I never do.
But that's what they tell you because, see, you're on probation, on a probationary period. Isn't it designated by a length of time? They want to see the effects. Same thing as when you're put on probation for doing something wrong. They want to see how you act.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little further into it. Let's say that you act up. You get sent to a hospital ward. Does that not sound like a prison ward?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now,
kind of an interesting parallel. You know,
you get into that hospital, okay? If you're cured to the best of their opinions, okay, you are what? Released. What are you from prison after you've served your term? You are released. A disease nowadays has been made into a crime.
You know, one thing about that is they mentioned that in the New Order of the Barbarians, you know, that Dr. Lawrence Dunnigan, who sat in that secret meeting with Richard Day, the head of the pediatric physicians. He was teaching these pediatric physicians, but he was also a New World Order insider, this Richard Day was. And he actually mentioned that when he was addressing the pediatric physicians there back in the 1960s. He talked about hospitals being used as prisons. So it's kind of an interesting parallel that you have there.
Everything.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. And
everything correlates. Everything, guys, correlates to a T.
Mm-hmm.
A T.
And that's part of the redesign of the system is a reorientation towards wellness. And the sick people will be triaged off into a different tier of health care.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very interesting parallel that you're drawing, and I have no argument against it at all.
There's probably still some more similarities I haven't run across. If anybody comes up with something, shout. But that's a good start, and I think it's too much just to throw off as crazy talk because the parallels are they can't be coincidental.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it certainly is a very interesting observation.
God bless you, too.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Mark. John in Tennessee wanted to join in. John?
Good morning, Darren and Vicki. I'm telling you, the parallels are astounding. Something that came to mind, though, Vicki, is that when we're hearing what Darren was talking about, why am I hearkening back to the old days of Cold Spring Harbor? And actually to the point where they're going to determine folks, whether or not you can even have kids, they're going to take care of their breeders. You know, it's amazing to me. I wonder how much. Go ahead.
Well, you're exactly right. And one of the things that I did, that I wrote, was a research project on the Human Genome Project, and I did trace the history. You know, just as an overview for what I was seeing. But the benefit of the way that the healthcare system has been redesigned, they don't need to put you in an institution anymore. Everybody can be walking around, and they still have you under control by virtue of the nationalized medical record and the ability for remote access. And the way the whole thing is designed, it was designed for genetic, applied genetics research and manipulation.
Well, see, and that's what it goes back. I was talking yesterday to a man about this, a friend of mine. It goes back to the very beginning, actually, to the garden. I won't take you back that far, but if you go back to the turn of the 20th century, there were a couple doctors. First of all, I guess Darwin's nephew, it was talking about, well, if we can cull out our cattle and cull out our livestock, then it can be done with the human race. And the whole story of Perry Buck and, you know, and what Oliver Wendell Holmes, I think it was, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, authorized for sterilization because she was supposedly infirmed, never mentioned that she was raped, but as a result, the Fitter Families Movement in the 1920s that went up to the 1970s, where originally it was Margaret Sanger and others saying who couldn't have children, and they were forcing sterilization. It became, you know, and not very palatable to people that wanted kids, so they painted the lips of the pig and they said it's your right.
Hey guys, I think we have we might have a break here, so just sit tight with me and we'll come back on the other side, okay?
Okay.
I think Ken's found a workaround for our computer problem, but just sit tight. Folks, you're listening to Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
We are back. This is Govern America. A little bit of a bumpy ride today, but that's okay. We're having a little technical problems there if you're just joining us. But we've been talking with Vicki Davis, and also we have John in Tennessee on the line. And I don't know, guys, if you finished your thoughts on that. John, you were...
Well, I just wanted to make to make help people to understand, kind of make it clear that the people that were involved in the administration of Cold Springs Harbor that were saying who could or who should not be married to one another, whether or not they should have children. It turns out at the end of their lives that we find out that they were themselves, what if they were judging equally, would have been considered defective. They had epilepsy. They had other birth defects. So the very ones that were saying who could and couldn't would have been eliminated if they would have been adhered to their own standards. The interesting thing about it is it's still going on. I'm in Nashville. Vanderbilt University, you know, they've got a billboard up down here, Darren, talking about health heart care tailored to your genetics. So what they're saying is they're going to look at your genes, and they're going to devise a plan for your health care or your transplant or giving your heart health by tweaking your genetics. Sorry, I'm having a hard time.
Or triggering
the genes with a drug to have a desired effect. What they're doing, guys, is genetically, and they're modifying us.
More of this eugenics that we've had throughout history.
Yeah.
Well, and they're modifying us incrementally with our consent. If we're, like Mark said, we're signing the form with our consent. You want to get kicked out of a hospital or a doctor's office? I went to Vanderbilt a few years ago with a rash, itching to beat the band. Saw the doctor. He handed me a tube of cortisone cream. Says, here, rub this on it, see if it helps. I said, well, what's the diagnosis? He said, I don't know what it is, but try this. It might help. And I said, well, Doc, I'll never forget it. It was Dr. Fine. I said, how do you prescribe without a diagnosis? Isn't that malpractice? And I never heard from the man again.
Yeah.
I didn't take the drug, but I never heard from him again, and I'm sure there'd probably be no room for me in the office if I were to try and make an appointment.
Well, what you're talking about is personalized medicine, and you can find information on it just by searching the Internet for personalized medicine, because that is the plan. You know, and
I'm sorry to keep interrupting, Vicki, but down here, like in Belle Meade, which would be like the Beverly Hills of Nashville, people with money, they can do it. I mean, they can have their genetic, their makeup change right. This is an area down here that is ripe with research. And it's interesting that we had a governor and a mayor that was involved in the healthcare business, Bill Bredesen. So, anyway, I'm sorry for interrupting. I'll let you go. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Thanks. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I'm gonna get off too, because I only called to tell you about that hearing. You can go to C-SPAN and do a search on disease clusters.
Okay.
That phrase, and you'll find the hearing. And interestingly, Erin Brockovich was she testified. And somebody from the NRDC, the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Right.
And you know what they're interested in. They don't, I mean, they want people to die.